What's up, everybody? You're listening to Occult Symbolism of Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. Today, we're doing a bonus episode for the supporters. Those supporters, they're winning so hard right now. They're winning so hard. They got all the Grey Lodge episodes we're blasting through as bonus episodes. And like I told you, for all the people who I don't like Twin Peaks. Hey, you know what? We're going to keep doing regular shows for you. That's right. I'm doing double duty. And that means you're going to get regular shows every week, like you always do. You're going to get a bonus episode every month, like you always do. And we're all going to have a great time. Now, today is going to be a little different. Today, you're going to get... This is going to be what I would call a mashup collaboration show. And I brought my lovely wife, my normie wife, Josie. Now, don't tune out, folks. I know what you're thinking. We've done this before. And some people say they don't like it, but they don't like it when I bring guests on. Josie, don't feel bad.
It's okay.
So, you know what? They
I'm
tune
not
in.
For everybody.
You are not for everybody. And that's okay.
It's okay.
They tune in and they want a little, I don't know, intimate time with me. And then I bring guests and stuff and they're like, oh, this person's a dickhead or whatever. And sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
I think maybe that, because I've seen it with other guests that you've had, that you get that same kind of energy. And no, I don't take it as personal.
Good.
They just love you. And that's, I love that for you.
And to be fair, I think most people do enjoy you because we do a show called Breaking Social Norms together, and it's very different from occult symbolism. Now today, let me tell you what we're talking about today. Today, we're going to share the story about my father passing away and us spreading his ashes in Death Valley at Barker Ranch, where the Charles Manson family was holed up.
Yeah, I remember this well.
I brought Josie on because she was there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this would be a good venue for this kind of thing. What I wanted to do was just kind of talk about the story. There's no crazy, cool, I don't know, what do you call it? Like punchline at the end where we're going to be like, and then something cool happened at the end. Like that. But we're just going to tell the story because I mentioned it and I had a couple people on the Patreon say, hey, I want to hear the story. So why not? It's a pretty, it's not a crazy story, but it's an interesting thing that we've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's the whole deal.
Let's talk about your dad.
You want to talk about dad?
Yeah.
We did, in fact, and I'm going to be plugging Breaking Social Norms this whole time. And if you don't like Breaking Socials, that's fine. You don't have to listen to it because it's a totally different format. It's us conversationally. It's our version of, what's that show I always use as an example because I'm a hater? Last podcast on the left.
Yeah.
which is funny. Like, I don't hate them. I just...
You don't like their format.
I don't like the format.
Which is hilarious because that's our format.
Which is hilarious because that's what we do on the other one.
Yeah.
So
I feel like we're both low T today. The day after 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
We had a fun little party.
Mm-hmm.
We're both exhausted. A firework blew up and almost ignited our freaking house on fire.
True story.
So
thank God no one got hurt. That was terrifying.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I don't like fireworks. I don't think I'll ever buy another firework.
No. And I felt like I was going to have to get into a fist fight with my neighbor.
Right. Who we usually get along with great.
Oh, it's crazy. What a crazy night. I think it was because there was a full moon going on last night.
I think also when people get scared, they don't show up at their best. You know,
totally.
I think when all of those emotions, because that's such an awful feeling of getting like flooded with all that feeling of fear that they want to yell at people.
Yeah.
You scared me. And that's like, I know. Yeah. I scared us. We were also scared. We know.
Well, they almost got beat up. I almost employed bringing it back to my dad because I'm gonna keep it focused because on Breaking Socials we'll yammer for 2 hours.
Yes.
This one we're keeping it focused because I know my occult symbolism folks are like, hey, don't start going off the track. We got to stay focused.
I won't do it this time.
I'm gonna bring it back to dad Because you know what? My dad took me to karate when I was, I don't know, 8 years old. And I almost had to employ my karate martial arts cantatas or whatever they're called.
Yes.
So my dad, let's give you a brief outline of who my dad is. Because you're probably thinking, why in the hell would he want his ashes spread at Barker Ranch? Well, I take after my father in some ways. And my father's a very unique guy. I don't want to say he was obsessed with Charles Manson, but he was obsessed with Charles Manson and that whole story.
I think he also started getting obsessed with Nazis.
Yeah, he was really into World War II Nazi stuff for a while.
But I think it was like a morbid curiosity and not like a, I really like what these people stand for.
Right. Yeah, he didn't respect it or look up to it. I think he just fascinated by
it. Yeah, I agree.
Which I picked up entirely from my dad.
Right.
This weird fascination with all things awful.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, my dad, he was, okay, so my dad, he's dead, right? He died in 2012, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He died from, I think officially it was heart disease, but it was a whole mix of stuff. He was only 56, but he had diabetes and heart disease and high cholesterol and depression.
When did he have his first heart attack?
He was in his 30s. I was about 12 years old.
Yeah.
In fact, I thought I saved my dad's life because I was an idiot. Because I was supposed to ride my bike to the Turkey Hill gas station and he wanted an Eskimo pie or something. And I didn't get it for him because something happened where they didn't have it or I didn't go or something. And that night he had a heart attack, and the doctor was like, oh, his arteries are 99% clogged or whatever.
Oh.
I thought, oh, my God, if I would have gotten that thing, they would have been totally clogged, you know. So he was pen pals with Michael Channels, who was the guy. Do you remember when Charles Manson died, there was a fight over his estate and to have his body?
Yes.
And Michael Channels is one of the guys that claimed he had a legal right to it or something like that.
Okay.
And I want to say there was also a guy who was a member of the Manson family for a short period of time that my dad was actually friends with. I want to say that was the thing.
He had like lots of pen pals.
Yeah. Really weird. But he kept all these letters. Like so when my dad died, I got a bunch of Charles Manson murderabilia.
Mm-hmm.
I've got letters he wrote to Michael Channels because he had provenance for all of this Charles Manson stuff that I have. I've got Charles Manson's hair. We've got guitar picks, drawings. What else do we got? We got a record with his. He wrote Rise on a record.
Artwork. Somebody did artwork with stuff that they found on Barker Ranch or something.
Oh, I
like
bought that for my dad, but then he died, so I took it back.
Oh, okay.
Someone made a collection of stuff from Barker Ranch in Death Valley, and I bought it for him as a gift 1 year, so I took it back.
Oh, okay.
And I just got a ton of stuff. I'm trying to think what else is in there. There's like a piece of
mail.
The counter from the Barker Ranch kitchen or whatever that they were at.
I don't know. It's a whole thing.
Lots of Charles Manson letters, Bruce Davis stuff, Tex Watson stuff, Susan Atkins stuff. Basically, he framed all this stuff in a big poster-sized frame, and then I have a folder with some various other things, like the hair and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really into Charles Manson too much. I was familiar with it, but not entirely. But then the last, I think it was towards the end when my dad was dying, I read Helter Skelter, and I got kind of pulled into it. I was like, oh, this is pretty crazy.
Mm.
And
well, just to talk about his health a little, he had heart disease, diabetes, all of that. I think things started changing. He had another quadruple bypass. And the surgery didn't go so well, or he fell from the bed and wasn't on oxygen for a while. Something happened. His personality changed a little, right? Like it was a little bit different.
I I don't know. There's conspiracy theories about my own family. I don't know. That's what my
is what was hard, because he was still in Pennsylvania and you were all the way out here.
Yeah, yeah. So when I was 18, I left PA and I was in the military. And while I was gone, I pretty much left PA when I was 18 and didn't go back. You know, military, moved around a bunch, got out of the military, moved to Utah, and it was in the early 2000s. Him and my mom started having, I don't know, issues of some kind. I still don't know what happened there. They got divorced. And around this, it was around the time, right after he had a heart attack, and they think maybe there was some oxygen missing for a period of time. But I don't know. He seemed kind of, I mean, he did do things that were different.
He was different after.
But it wasn't like crazy different. I was like, no. He still seems like the same kind
of
guy.
But he always said when he did pass away, the plan was to spread his ashes in the ocean because he was in the Navy.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So this wasn't always a thing that was going to happen. It was always he wanted him in the ocean.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, I think something, and then his obsessiveness was a little bit different. Like, he was always kind of like that, but this was maybe a little more after that. He would definitely, because you're like that. You're a lot like him, where he would pick something and then go full tilt into it.
Yeah, you're right.
But this was something new. I think the level of it was new. Not the behavior.
Uh-huh.
But the amount, maybe the intensity of it or something.
I guess. You're right, because that was when he framed all the Manson stuff and
really started buying stuff with the Manson thing and really getting into it. So I think that a little bit of that, his like sugars weren't managed well with his diabetes. So I don't know how much of that like personality stuff wasn't connected to brain function or.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Something was going on with. Anyways, he just was. Because I feel like 56 is pretty young to die from
natural causes or whatever it was. Yeah. Well,
right.
So. Yeah, because he died in a hospice. You know. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
So it wasn't just like, this is who your dad was. This is what happened to him.
Yeah. He was interested in this stuff. Then it's possible that he had some mental issues happening towards the end and really got into it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think it was medical. That affected mental is kind of what it seemed like from an outside perspective.
But he always had severe depression.
Yeah.
Like he would come home and sleep the whole weekend, just in his room, door closed all weekend.
Yeah.
And like, that's deep depression.
Oof.
So anyway, so regardless, and he had this friend out in San Francisco. A pen pal of his. Yes. Yeah. And he was in on this journey, because my dad, he wanted to be cremated, so he did that. And I guess he told the guy in San Francisco that he was going to, I guess we can say his name is John, right? That's a pretty basic name. No one's going to triangulate that. But John was friends with my dad, and he was like, yeah, this is what he wanted. He wanted to spread his ashes up at Barker Ranch. And he knows that I know how to get there, because it's not this simple place to get to as much as you would think it would be. So after my dad died, you, me, my mom, and John all met up in L.A. Is it L.A.? Yeah, we flew into L.A.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember meeting John there, though. I felt like John met us because...
We drove to some little town in the middle of nowhere.
Because me, you, and mom like kind of just hung out in L.A. and did some like sightseeing stuff. And then he met us in, what's that little town outside of Barker?
I don't know. I don't remember.
There was a little town that we kind of met up.
Yeah, there was a dusty little town.
Yeah.
When you drive inward from L.A. towards Death Valley, which Death Valley is massive, right? And we met in this little town. And he had a Jeep. John had this sort of jacked up Jeep that I think his son had or something like that. I don't know. But either way, he was like, well, we got this Jeep and I've got all these trail maps. We're going to find this place and spread the ashes. And we just, you, me, and my mom were all just going along for a ride. Like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. And thank God we needed him.
Yeah. He did
Holy
the homework.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Because we get in the Jeep and we drive out that way. And you go to the outskirts of Death Valley, and it's exactly what you would think. I mean, it's nobody as far as the eye can see. It's a very surreal landscape.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like you're on Mars or something. And the way we took, we went in, and then you had to go off of the regular road onto sort of a dirt road with tons of potholes. You could only drive so fast. And we drove in this big Jeep, but you're hitting these, you know, the thing's bouncing all over the place.
Until we got to the mouth.
Then we got to, I think it's called Goler Wash Canyon.
Yeah, yeah.
The mouth of this canyon. And he's like, okay, well, this is where it's going to get dicey. And I was like, oh, good. Hasn't gotten dicey yet.
I was
dicey.
Already scared.
Yeah, you were terrified.
Yeah, I am not. I get nervous of stuff.
Well, it was terrifying because there's nobody out there anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, just nothing for what seems like hours, I guess. I mean, it could have been hours.
It's very remote.
Because it was from the little town we were staying to the sort of entrance to Death Valley. I bet it was at least 45 minutes and there's nothing there. Then you get to Death Valley, there's nothing there. And then you go on this side road for another half hour. And then we get to Goler Wash Canyon. And it's a really tight canyon with sharp turns, and you need a four-wheel drive Jeep to get through
this
thing.
And big boulders.
Big boulders.
Giant boulders.
And they were saying that if it gets, like, a flood of rain or something, like, you're screwed. Like, I guess you're hosed. Because the water, flash floods will come down through that canyon, and I guess it kills people. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
So.
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure that's the story.
Oh, boy.
So we and you go through Goler Wash Canyon for a long time.
Yeah.
I remember we got to the top and we saw like elk or something. I don't know.
No, there's
what were they?
Donkeys.
Was it donkeys?
Yeah, they had what are they called?
Burros.
Burros.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, they were donkeys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's donkeys. Wild donkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a trip. They so we get
elk.
I don't remember what it was. Hey, I went to karate, not hunting. I didn't go to hunting school. I went to the dojo.
Oh, my God. You're hilarious.
I was going to be Ralph Macchio. So we get to the top of Goler Wash, and now we're looking at the map, and we're like, well, geez, I don't know which way to go. There's this sign with the arrows, but you can see they're kind of like flipped around, like someone played a little silly prank.
Yeah.
So I get out and I run to the top of the hill to see if I could see anything over the one way.
Oh, that's right. We went the wrong way and we had to turn around.
Yeah. And I'm looking over and I'm like, oh, no, it has to be the other way. So we turn around and we got lost for a minute. And we ended up coming around the top of this other hill and there's Barker Ranch. And it's a pretty wide open flat area once you get there. And what's amazing is that Charles Manson drove a school bus to
which
this
place.
Which is
still there. It was still there. You remember? We saw it.
The school bus was?
Yes.
No.
Yes, it was. I was like, how the hell did he get that school bus down here?
I don't think there was a school bus there.
I'm telling you there was. We saw it. It was all rusted out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I was like, I remember seeing, because I don't know any of the Manson stuff.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to any of that. And we were driving through, and I was like, what the hell?
Huh. Maybe it was there, and I didn't think anything of it until afterwards when I started really getting into Manson stuff. And then
yeah, because you saw it. We were talking about it. I was like, how did he get that down there? And you said, well, the legend is that he flew it down there or something.
He used magic.
Yes, that's what you said.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did they find this place? And you said that they used to get in, like, dune buggies and go dune buggying around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
So, and that's like me not knowing anything, right?
Yeah, I'll just look through my I got photos somewhere when we went up there because it's you get there and it's like this sort of what do you call it? Like a complex or something where you know all the buildings are destroyed, like they're burned down. So all you see is these foundational concrete pads.
But wasn't there one? Because I felt like we went in.
Oh, yeah, there was
one
sort of shack that was
like
still there.
Like a shack that was still up, yeah.
Yeah. But the main, like, living house was down to the concrete. There's not much there, but it's interesting because they have, you know, the national parks have those signs that tell you stuff about the place you're at.
Uh-huh.
Remember they had one there for Barker Ranch. And it talked about how the Manson family was there and stuff. And I thought, what the hell? Who came all the way up here from the National Park Service and made this? I mean, it wasn't like a homemade job.
But wasn't Barker Ranch the film? This is where I don't know much. Okay. Barker Ranch was the film, the old Western film?
No, that's Spahn Ranch.
Oh, Spahn.
Yeah,
okay.
Spahn Ranch, which was they not were, in Death Valley.
Oh, but it was outside. It was in that same little area, right? Because we stopped at Spahn Ranch. There
no,
wasn't much
no,
left.
We didn't.
Oh, we didn't?
No, we didn't. Uh-uh. Nope.
Oh. No. So what was that little town before we went into the scare or the...
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I don't remember.
Oh.
Yeah, we did not go to Spahn Ranch. That's kind of somewhere else. I don't know where.
Oh, okay.
That's closer to the city.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I found my photos here. Yeah, there's a... you can still see there were cans there, like tin cans they were using for shooting practice. Mm-hmm. You can see the bullet holes in them and stuff. So that's pretty neat. But yeah, okay, here it is. I got the picture of the National Park sign. It says, Family Getaway. And it says, Death Valley National Park Department of the Interior. Barker Ranch was built by recreational ranchers who moved to the desert to enjoy the solitude and simplicity of living far from civilization. Bluke and Helen Thomason moved to the area in the late 30s to try their hand at gold mining. Around 1940, they constructed a small stone cabin and outbuilding with electricity provided by a windmill and generator and drinking water from a nearby spring. By 1955, the ranch was sold to Jim and Arlene Barker, who moved to the desert from Oklahoma. To accommodate their family gatherings, the Barkers enlarged the house and constructed more outbuildings. The ranch became infamous in 1969 when Charles Manson and members of the Manson family were captured at the site. Family members attracted the attention of local law enforcement when they were suspected of burning a piece of road maintenance equipment. Detectives later discovered that the vandalism suspects were also responsible for a series of murders in the Los Angeles area. Barker Ranch became part of Death Valley National Park in 1994. Tragically, the main house and workshop were destroyed in an accidental fire in May 2009. So, yeah, so we were there, and we spread the ashes, and that's the story. trying to think. I'll post some pictures on the Instagram. There's
let me see
some structures there. I'm trying to think if there's anything else worth sort of talking about. I'll post a picture of Death Valley itself. Look at that. But yeah, it was kind of a really strange place because when you're up there, it's kind of like what Charles Manson was saying when we talked about the desert stuff. You know how an alchemist, there's this whole thing about the desert being the best teacher.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I think Charles Manson was doing, was taking them out to the desert for a sort of a surreal experience. You know, you change your set and setting, and, you know, what a setting that is. Out hours from anything. And they had dune buggies and stuff out there. And who knows? Maybe when you're up there, it doesn't seem like you're too far away, but maybe it's more of getting there when you've never done it before that makes it feel like it takes forever to get there.
It was, I don't know. I guess because we're not like outdoorsy people, like going up there and seeing all of those like big boulders and going through that canyon and everything. Yeah. It was intense. And I was a little bit afraid when we were doing it. I was like, this is crazy. What are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's it's also pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a place many people have gone to.
In the minute of it, I was just like, this is a lot.
Yeah, there's a Keystone Mine camp that's near Barker Ranch. That's what we passed going in. I'm trying to find the name of that town.
What's this picture?
Ridgecrest, maybe, or Valley Wells? I don't know what that is. Huh. Trona. I think Trona was the name of the town we were in with the little hotel. But anyway, yeah, so we spread the ashes, and, you know, that's what he wanted. And that's what we did.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a solitude. It's a place of solitude for sure.
We didn't spread all of his ashes there.
We did most of them because we had the ashes, and, you know, my mom said, well, you know, he used to say he wanted them spread in the ocean because of the Navy. So she was a little bit like, why would he want them spread at Barker Ranch? And so what we did was we did a family sort of thing where we put some of his ashes in the Atlantic Ocean in Jersey, mm-hmm. where he was born. And then we had the rest of them that we were going to take to Barker. And I almost kept some in a sort of keepsake. You know, you can make necklaces and rings with cremains in them.
Right.
But I hesitate to do that because then it's this whole thing that I'm like, okay, if anything happens, like, you know, if the house is on fire, I got to get those cremains, you know. Mm. Like, it's like, I feel like that adds this weird pressure.
Right.
And I don't know. And then I thought, well, and it's not what he wanted. He wanted to spread out there. So, I don't know. We just spread them all.
Yeah. So, he spread some in the ocean and uh-huh. then some, you know, what we wanted to do what he wanted.
Uh-huh. And I've got all this Manson memorabilia, and he had it hanging in his house. And I almost put it up in the office here, but then you were kind of like, hey, I don't know, it might be weird mojo there.
Right.
Which I agree with. And I think I put the picture on Instagram. I'll have to redo it of all this. I'll put the picture back up, but of all the stuff in there. So we ended up, it's in our basement. Do you got a picture of the donkey?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's a picture of the donkey.
That's the elk that we saw right there.
Donkey, elk, same thing.
Here's a better picture.
Oh, funny. Okay.
That's a crazy looking elk. Yeah, they had donkeys all over there.
Yeah, so I had the framed art, and I thought, well, if it's just sitting in the basement, like, I should just... We had, ironically, I think on the same trip, we went to the Hollywood Museum of Death, which has all this mass murderer
right.
stuff, and it's dark.
Ooh. That was awful.
Oh.
I felt yucky in there.
That was some dark energy, man.
Yeah, I didn't like that. So, and we did the Zach... what is the Zach one?
The Zach Bagans in Vegas.
Vegas. Yep. What do they call that?
The Haunted Mansion tour or whatever.
Anyways, we did that one too. And that one had just as much bad energy. Like, where you walk in and you kind of get that, like, heebie-jeebies or, like, the dirty feel.
Uh-huh.
But I felt that big time at the murder museum.
Yeah. Feels like in Twin Peaks when Bob shows up.
You're so weird.
Got you in my death bag. So they had a whole room at the Museum of Death of Charles Manson's stuff. And I thought, right. Well, this would be a cool addition. So I sent them an email and said, hey, here, I got this stuff. And I didn't want to sell it because this was my inheritance now, was Charles Manson hair. I said, hey, I don't really want to sell it because it's all I got from my dad.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't mind. I said, just for whatever reason, I'd feel better if I just did an indefinite lease. You just borrow this. If I ever someday change my mind, I want it back. I want to be able to come get it. But for now, like, I just indefinitely, it's yours to have for free. And they said they can't do that. They said, we have to actually buy it. So how much do you want for it? And I was like, I don't really want to sell it. So that's where we're at with it. It's just sitting in the basement. Enjoyed by no one.
I know, but it's weird. It's got...
I think there's a Museum of Death in New Orleans, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I even wrote them, but maybe they didn't write back. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fine down there.
Then there's a new horror museum getting built in L.A. And I follow their page on Twitter and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And they're building a museum with different like film props from horror movies and stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
I don't know if they're going to have anything in this realm. I'm going to hit them up, though, because we actually follow each other, right? They follow me. I follow them.
Oh, that's neat.
And they recently, they're getting ready to open, and they sent out a thing saying, hey, if you have a following or do a podcast or anything, let us know, because we're interested. We're trying to find a way to get our name out there. And I wrote them. I said, hey, I got a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'll do anything. I'll do a little ad read. You can come on. We can talk about it. Whatever you want to do. And they were like, oh, really? What's the name of it? And I told them the name of it, and then it was Crickets. And I was like, oh, okay. So I don't know if they're just, maybe
like,
they're
not
just
you.
Like, no, not this one. So I don't know what, maybe I'll get them on. But that's my next attempt, is maybe if they are interested and they have a place for it, I'll do that. I don't know. I just don't want to sell it. Because I don't want to, I mean, what do I care, you know?
You don't want to sell it.
I don't want to sell it.
It's fine. Just keep it. Don't have to do anything with it. It's fine. Just hold on to it.
Maybe we should just mount it on the basement wall.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, you don't like the idea of it being on the wall?
What is my feelings around that? Let me feel what I'm feeling. It's like when I see... what are those called? Like animal skin on the floor.
Okay.
Or a head mounted.
Okay.
Or a dead bird in flight. You know what I mean? Like hunting shit.
Okay.
I have a lot of respect for life.
Uh-huh.
And for God's creation. And it actually feels disrespectful to me. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
It's like one of our friends wanted to use a cowhide as a rug in the salon, and I was like, you guys, that feels so terrible to me. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I see why it looks cool.
Yeah.
I see it and I'm like, that looks really cool. I also know that that was attached to a living, breathing thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I still eat meat. I still eat meat. So, but I just...
And like leather, right? We have a leather couch. That's from cow,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
But you look at that more of a...
Using the whole
way?
Thing. And that's the same. Like, I guess I don't really have a problem with people using the heads for decor or whatever. I just don't like it when people walk on it.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Is that weird?
No, I think I
feel there's
where you're
like
coming
a disrespect.
I get where you're coming
the
from.
The couch doesn't bother me. The clothes don't bother me. The like heads mounted and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't put it on my wall.
Uh huh.
But I have a fake one. I have one made out of resin, a skull made out of resin, because I see the appeal of it. I think I understand why it looks cool.
Yeah.
It does look cool. I do think that there's energies that are attached to living things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to have respect for those things.
I gotcha.
I don't know how to describe it. I don't know why, when or where I decide that that's disrespectful or not disrespectful. Because like a couch doesn't seem super respectful. You know what I mean?
But maybe it's like when if we buy... I don't know. If we're making dinner or we buy a dinner and there's meat on the plate, we're sure to, even if we're full, we try to eat all the meat so you don't just throw it away, because it's like something gave their life up for that.
Right.
If
exactly.
If it's the macaroni, sure, throw it
but
away.
But here's the thing. Like, I wouldn't have even bought the leather couch except for we have dogs, and dogs are, we have chihuahuas, and they inevitably will throw up for whatever reason.
I'm pretty sure they're throwing up right now.
And so it's hard to clean off like microfiber. So we're like, let's get a couch. But if it's wrapped in plastic.
Wrapped in plastic.
You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. That's like, that's not good for the earth either. So I was like, well, I mean, I'd rather have something that is like not a plastic couch. But is it easily cleaned?
I gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I guess I don't know. Whatever.
It's tough to make the right choices.
It's hard to make good choices, like when you're trying to have some kind of morals.
On plastic, toxic stuff you're breathing in formaldehyde.
Right. I don't know. I'm just doing the best I can. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I
hear the hype, how ridiculous this is. So you don't have to go on there and be like, she's a idiot. Because I'm like, you know what? Fair. I agree with you.
In the post wrap, I'd be like, look, she's crazy. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this Manson stuff.
Exactly.
No, I know what you're saying.
But I'm saying that there's a certain amount of energy that is attached to this stuff. And I'm okay with like living and let live. I'm fine with it being in the house because it is a extension to your father, right? Like
yes. It's
to that. But I don't want to feed it energy of like glorifying it.
Right. I'm with you on that. I think if I have it in this office and I look at it on some level, maybe that opens a doorway of dark energy and attracts other dark things now.
Right.
Whereas if it's just in the basement in a pile, no one's looking at it.
Yes.
It's not hurting anybody.
It's not hurting anybody. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what
I'm with
you. That's where I just feel like we live in an energy field and everything's a passage of energy. You know what I mean? It's like this thing. So
yeah, we're all molasses, man.
We are molasses. So I don't like to feed energy to negative aspects. And not that he was a human being and whatever. I don't want to say he's negative. I don't think he was
Who, Charles Manson?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
He was
very
a
well.
Victim of the government MK Ultra Project chaos.
Is that for real?
It seems real. I've got to do I'm supposed to do a show. You know, Eddie Bravo told me that he wants to have me back on to talk Charles Manson, and I need to get my stuff together and make that happen.
You're
going
to have to stop watching Twin Peaks.
I can't stop. Once I'm done with Twin Peaks, we're back on Manson. But because I read Tom O'Neill's book, but it's a huge book, and I got to compile all the notes because I can't articulate it simply because you'd have to read however many pages that was, and then you'd say, okay, like Vincent Bugliosi, the lawyer the prosecutor that convicted Manson,
mm-hmm.
in the book, he basically proves that he was lying about everything.
Who was lying?
Vincent Bugliosi.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy book.
Yeah,
even
I
listened to the Joe Rogan interview with Tom O'Neill, and it's good, but it does not go into some of the shocking details of this book.
Oh, wow.
And I wish I was better prepared to talk it because I bring it up often and I'm always like, I don't know. I read the book and it said things.
How long?
It was a
while ago, though.
Years ago I read it.
Yeah, so you got to revisit it.
Yeah. But I remember reading it thinking, oh my God, this guy is proving that Charles Manson was on some level being handled by a government agency.
Oh, weird.
It's pretty undeniable. I don't think he had the silver bullet that's like, hey, let's take them to court type shit. But, I mean, if you have any common sense and you read all the things that happened, you're like, oh, this is totally what happened.
Interesting.
He was part of some kind of program. I don't know if it was for to program assassins or to shut down the communist hippie movement or...
Or to invoke it.
Something like that. I don't know.
Hmm. Well, anyways... I just think that there's energy. I don't mind it being in the basement. I understand why you would want to keep it. So I don't have any feelings around that. But I just don't want to give it any air.
I actually agree with you wholeheartedly. No. I don't want to give it any energy either.
So
That's pretty dark territory.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to write a book about Manson. And I was deep into it, reading all the books, taking all the notes, starting to write the book. I think I'm 30 pages into the thing. And then I started having real nasty nightmares about cutting people's throats. And
ooh.
Yeah, it was crazy. And like Manson was in the dreams. And I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm not doing this. So I stopped. And then it didn't matter because I think.
You do that. You're a sensitive person. You were playing, what was it, Call of Duty?
Yeah.
And.
I had nightmares about killing people.
Yeah, and then you were like, I'm done. I'm not playing this anymore. And it kind of pushed you away from video games altogether.
Yeah, Call of Duty was a weird one because I is that I hadn't played video games in a long time, and then I picked it up and I played it for hours and hours straight, and I went to bed and slept and had a dream about killing people.
Yuck.
I know they say all these things have no effect on you, but I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
I think it was on Penn & Teller. Didn't they have a whole episode back when they were on Showtime about how video games don't do anything and Big Nanny State was trying to ban video games?
Here's
remember
my
this
thing, though. I feel like we don't need to ban things. I think people need to monitor themselves, yeah, like, and understand, yes, and just have like an understanding of it.
Yeah,
we don't need the government to come in and start babysitting everybody. It's like, no, we don't. That's ridiculous. Nobody. Well, some people want that, but I don't want that.
Yeah, I struggled to understand what my political leanings were until I seen the video on TikTok, and I think we're both anti-authoritarians.
I agree.
That's the correct description.
Yeah.
I don't want the left telling through the government telling people what to do, the same way I don't want the right through using the government to tell people what to do.
Right.
So, okay.
Anywho.
that's a breaking social norms topic.
Yeah.
So, okay. That's the story. I hope that was interesting. I don't know. Is it interesting enough to make a, you know, 20-30 minute show about, but I didn't want to not say anything about it because it is an interesting sort of story. I don't have any cool, like, and then we got up there and I saw Tex Watson hanging out or something, you know.
No, it was just us and the elk.
Just us and the donkey elk. But if you ever get a chance to go up there, I mean, is it worth it? I don't know. If you're into off-road Jeep stuff, it's probably,
dude,
great.
Dude, I thought it was
you'd
totally
probably love it.
If you're not afraid, if you're not a scaredy cat like I am, I'm a total scaredy cat. You have enough bad shit happen in your life, you start seeing where the bad shit can happen in your life. You know what I mean? So I'm a scaredy cat.
Getting stuck on the desert,
yeah,
is definitely,
yes,
up there.
Exactly. I was like, ooh, yikes. But if that's your thing and you know how to do it and you're well-versed in it, it is. I would totally say go up there. It's pretty. Yeah. I felt like the ride was really scary and exhilarating and beautiful. It's totally, I would say that is a fun place to go if you like that kind of shit.
Yeah, it's definitely an out there kind of place, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, do you want to go to Skinwalker Ranch sometime? Or is that on your sort of negative vibe list?
That's a negative vibe for me.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I actually believe in all of this shit. I believe in skinwalkers, and I am afraid of pulling not so helpful things into your life.
Uh-huh.
And inviting things in by accident.
Yes.
But I'm also like to be scared a little bit. Like, I kind of like the idea of like going and seeing like what's the big hubbub about, you know?
You wouldn't mind seeing some lights in the sky, but you're worried they're going to come down and,
yeah, I
pull
mean,
you up.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Fire in the Sky?
Uh-huh.
That scared me so bad.
That's pretty terrifying.
So, I don't know, like, yes, I would go. I would go, but I would like try and, I just want to be like real cool about it.
Just,
I don't
go
know how
with,
to describe,
with Bible in hand, go crossed up.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that would make me feel a little bit better. I don't know. I wish I wasn't such a scaredy cat. I'm a big old baby.
It's all right. You're cautious.
Yes.
That's not a bad way to be. All right.
I just feel like once you open up certain cans, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't undo some of the stuff that you do.
Yeah.
And I've had enough trauma in my life. Like, I'm ready for the easy path.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. I'm glad that we could talk about the story and it wasn't this awful experience that it seemed like it was going to be for a minute when we were headed up there.
Yes.
So, and I will put images on the Instagram. I'll try to snap some photos of the hair and the record I have that says Rise and all that stuff. I'll put it on a post on the Instagram. You can check it out. Instagram.com/IsaacWiseHop. Or I think that's the link. I don't know. You know the drill. Yeah, so that's the show. If you got any questions, drop them on the Patreon comments about this. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I forgot in the story. I feel like there is, but I don't know. Okay. That's pretty much it, though. So, okay. I hope you enjoyed that. Till next time, stay woke.